Good morning. Welcome to the Wednesday morning devotion, encouragement, and prayer time from Impact Prayer Ministry. My name is Tom Lemler. I am a staff member of the Deer Run Church of Christ in South Bend, Indiana, as well as the director of Impact Prayer Ministry. Today, as we continue in the devotional, Watch Your Mouth, Choosing Words Which Honor Christ. Today's topic is choosing pleasant words. When you hear the word pleasant, what comes to mind? Does it change depending on if you're thinking about a pleasant scene or a setting or a place versus a pleasant word? What makes a word pleasant and what makes a word unpleasant? Are there specific characteristics of the word itself, or is it often more about how it's used? Can the same word be both pleasant and unpleasant, depending on the situation or the manner in which it's used? I think many times we want the easy out. We want a list of words that are appropriate and a list of words that are not appropriate. But at least for me, it seems like the pleasantness of words often has as much or even more to do with the tone in which they're used than the actual word itself. The writer of Proverbs tells us that pleasant words aid in instruction. Also, pleasant words are sweet, are healing to the bones. As you think about your ability to instruct others, your ability to be instructed, your ability to promote healing and reconciliation, our nation seems to be trying it the other way. We have been for quite some time. It's nothing new. And all of the yelling and anger and unpleasant words that are being spewed out in our media sources and on our streets have done absolutely nothing when it comes to promoting instruction and healing. And in fact, the words that our culture tends to use in today's society have taken us in a completely different direction. There have been times, and I've been in group settings and leadership settings, where the conversation has become very unpleasant. Not necessarily because the topic is unpleasant, although there have been some of those times as well, but because the relationship between people have become unpleasant. The voices raise, the tones change, the accusations fly. And I can tell you in my experience, those have been meetings where absolutely nothing good has been accomplished. Oh, God has used those for His good and to accomplish things that have turned out for good, but not what could have been had there been a decision ahead of time by everyone to choose pleasant words. I suppose it's part of my personality, the unpleasantness of words and of anger and of yelling at one another just cuts me to the core. It sickens my spirit to where I simply cannot endure it. So my mind, my body, everything shuts down. The opposite of aiding in instruction and bringing healing. The injury is weighing and pressing. I'm guessing I'm not the only one. Because God found it important to tell us to choose pleasant words. At least for me, I've discovered that pleasant words get me further in resolving conflict and resolving issues and resolving problems than unpleasant words. To simply be unpleasant to a worker who has endured an entire line of unpleasant people in front of you doesn't make you any different from the crowd. In fact, it doesn't get you very far. None of us really like things to be demanded of us. And so, why do we do that to others? And granted, pleasant words do not always change the situation into your favor. I've had encounters in airports and other places where things have gone not according to schedule. And while the pleasant words that I've used have seemingly brightened the day for a moment of the person who's handling all of the complaints, there is only so much they can do. And whether I had chosen pleasant words or unpleasant words, the result likely would have been the same for me. But the result was different for the counter clerk, for a moment at least, until the guy behind me stepped up and joined the overwhelming majority who were using very unpleasant words. You see, that's the difference we have the ability to make as representatives of Jesus, to be a spot of light, a spot of hope, a spot of relief, even if circumstances cannot change the way we would like them to. You see, choosing pleasant words is about guarding our tone, guarding the very words themselves, looking for ways to help rather than hurt. You see, when we choose not to demand, we open ourselves up for instruction just as much as we open the avenues of instruction for the other party. When we choose the pleasant words rather than the unpleasant words, we allow for a moment of healing, a moment of hope, a moment of relief. You see, as we pray today, I would encourage you to ask God to help you examine the tone, the pleasantness of your words from His perspective. There are probably a few people who would readily admit that their words are unpleasant and they don't care. But for anyone that really cares whether their words are pleasant or not, a few of us would admit when they're not. Because that's goes against what we claim, what we want, what we desire. And we use all kinds of words and terminology to kind of explain it away. I can't be walked on. I have to make my point clearly, and I need to be a little forceful in this situation, or they'll take advantage of me. And as we come up with reasons as to why our words might not be as pleasant as those which bring instruction and healing. We have to step back and say, does God view my words as pleasant? You see, we think of our worship, our time of honoring and praising God as words which are a sweet aroma that rise to heaven to his ears. But God says our life, each day and everything we do, ought to be worship of him. So do we think about our words at a restaurant to our server as needing to be pleasant, as honoring and worshiping God? Do we think about our words in the workplace, on the golf course, on the places we frequent, as needing to be pleasant in order to worship and honor God? How do we go about choosing pleasant words without compromising the truth? You see, there will always be people who reject truth, and so speaking truth, even in love, may sound unpleasant to them. And that's why I say, ask God to help you examine the pleasantness of your words from his perspective. Not so much from your own perspective, and not even completely from the perspective of others, but from God's perspective. Would you spend some time praying with me today? Father, thank you that you are a God that loves us, have called us to yourself, have given us the task, the responsibility of representing Jesus in this world. Father, forgive us for those times that we fail, that our words, our actions are demanding rather than accommodating, that we treat people in ways that make Jesus undesirable to them. Father, help us today to examine our words from your perspective. May we see more clearly how pleasant they are by your definition and according to your ears. Father, as we speak today, may we guard not just our word choices, but our tone, the attitude behind our words. May we choose words which promote instruction, that help not only others to learn, but help us to learn. May we choose words which are sweet and full of healing, full of reconciliation, full of mercy and grace. May the words that we use be pleasant to your ears. May they be full of worship and honor that you deserve. And may they be pleasant to the ears of those who hear them. May we discover more fully each day how to speak truth, your truth. In ways that are good and pleasant. Oh, Father, your word tells us that how good it is, and how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell together in unity, when people get along. And Father, for those times where we're emotionally stirred up to respond to people, to situations in ways that would not promote instruction or healing, remind us of the good that we can do with our words just as easily as the harm we can do with them. And help us to choose the good, the pleasant words which bind us together, that bring understanding to one another. Father, I think of Willis and his conversation that he had with me and others in Louisiana about just the beauty of people working together and the good that can come from just sitting down and being pleasant to one another, being kind to one another, listening to one another. Father, may we be filled with those moments today that we look for the pleasant words that others use and we share pleasant words so that our community is filled with them. In the midst of all of the angry voices that we're surrounded with, may we be a part of those who overcome that by increasingly using pleasant words so that they become more and more heard, and that they become more and more common than the angry words. Father, as I think about the children in our homes, our communities, our churches, I pray that our words with them would be pleasant words. Even our words of correction and instruction and discipline, of training them. Though those times where we lash out at our children out of our frustration, may we ask their forgiveness, but may we also understand why that happened. So that we can teach and model the pleasant words that aid in instruction, that bring healing. Father, today as we live life, as we interact with people on whatever level that we're able to, may our words represent Jesus well so that His instruction and His healing can fill this land. Oh, Father, we need a great healing across this nation that I live in, across this world, across this community. And so, Father, as we learn from Your Word, the ability of pleasant words to bring healing, to bring instruction, may we commit more fully than ever to choose pleasant words, words which represent Jesus well, so that He would be lifted up and many would be drawn to Him. It's in His name that I pray. Amen. This has been the Wednesday morning, a devotion, encouragement, and prayer time from Impact Prayer Ministry. Thank you so much for joining me. I do pray that your day is greatly blessed by God, so that you can be a blessing to others. Have a great day.